Good to see everybody here today. Appreciate all of you being here. And I appreciate the opportunity to stand up here and speak to you for a few minutes this morning. If you want to, you can go ahead and turn in your Bible to the book of James. That's going to be the first passage that we'll read from in a few minutes. But I'd like to start out, first of all, with an example to sort of get us thinking on the right track of what I'd like to talk about today. Look at this picture I have here on the screen and think about what's going on here. I was going to joke, Phil's not here, I was going to pick on him and tell him that I caught him doing donuts out in the parking lot. That sort of resembles his little white car that he has, but he's not here, so I can't do that, but... But what is this right here? Here's another smaller picture. In the automotive industry, every company that produces cars, that makes vehicles, they have things similar to this. They have these testing grounds that they set up. And you've all seen them. You've seen pictures like this. You've seen them on TV. And what they do is they take their new model of vehicle that they came up with and... They set up cones, like you can see a lot of cones, courses. They drive over speed bumps. They drive them through potholes, over railroad tracks, through puddles of water, through the rain. You see some water on this track. But what are they doing with these tracks that they make up, these test tracks? Well, they're wanting to see how this new vehicle, will hold up, how it's going to perform. And they want to see how it responds to these tests that they're putting it through. That some of the vehicles, you know, some may pass, some may fail, and they may have to go back and make some adjustments to this vehicle based on what happens in this test. But they're really being really hard on these cars. They really put them under strain because they want to see how they're going to perform, how they're going to hold up. They're trying to essentially simulate the strain and the stress that this car might face over time. They're trying to get a good idea of how it's going to hold up. But I want to use this example, this idea, to sort of introduce what I'd like to talk about and what I'd like for us to think about for a few minutes here today. And that is how we deal with tests and trials that we face in our lives. And more specifically, and more importantly also, how as Christians should we deal with the tests and the trials that we face? And look at how God, we want to know how God would have us to deal with the things that we face in life. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. Start off with a couple of just definitions to sort of get us thinking in the right way. I got these two definitions from Nelson's Bible Dictionary. But... it defined a trial as a hardship or temptation that tests one's faith. And then a test, it defined as a trial that manifests a person's real character. So if we think about that, how we respond to these tests and trials are a direct indication or a direct gauge of our real character and how strong our faith really is. So they're very important. They help us, essentially, they help us see how we're doing in serving God, how we're responding to these tests that we face from time to time, help us gauge how we're doing in our service to God. And I'd like to go through the Bible, go through God's Word, and look at a few different examples of different people who faced trials and try to glean some information from the examples that we have here. But before we start on any specific examples, we need to first understand, and I want to sort of make the point because it generally covers all of them, that it's our attitude about these tests and trials that we're facing in life that play the major role in whether we deal with them in a manner that's pleasing to God or not. It's our attitude that we have when we face them. And it's the attitude of different people that face them that cause some people to act one way and some people to act in another way. Essentially, you know, some people respond to them in a negative way. A lot of times we see that. A lot of times we may do that. Maybe in a defensive way, we don't respond to them the way we should. And then other times, you know, you'll see somebody respond to this hardship or this test that they're being faced with in a positive way. in a productive way, and they understand the reason that we face these tests that we have here on this earth. And also, another point I want to clear up before I get started is that not necessarily talking about sinning and not sinning this morning. That's not what I'm talking about. We know that from time to time we're all going to fall short of the glory of God. We're all going to sin. We're all going to respond to maybe one of these tests in a negative way. But what I really want to focus on is our attitude that we have about doing this, our attitude that we have about doing our very best to not sin when we face these trials. And as we look at these examples that we're going to look at here in a second, I want to pay attention to the attitude of those people who were involved. Over in the book of James, the first passage I want to read comes from chapter 1. You know, the book of James was a letter, and it was written to Christians who faced trials. That's one reason I started out with this verse. It was specifically written to a group of people who were facing some serious tests and some serious trials. Their faith was being tested every day. And James reminds them of the attitude that they should have through all these tests. Look at, starting in verse 2 there, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So when we read this, is joy, you know, he mentions that they should count it all joy when they fall into these various trials. Is joy our first natural response when we have a hard time or hardship, or we're really having a hard time with something? Is it naturally we're not happy about that, right? Naturally, joy is not what we are our first feeling. And you know, he's not saying here that you should enjoy what you're going through here. That's not necessarily what it is, but we must train ourselves not to have this negative attitude, and we need to understand, as he said here, that these trials, they produce patience and they produce endurance. They produce perseverance in us when we deal with them in the right way. And we need to get to the point that we understand that these make us stronger. When we can face something, we can face a situation in our everyday life and we can overcome it, that makes us stronger. We have a more positive attitude toward that. We need to understand that these tests and these trials, essentially, in the end, are going to be what helps us reach heaven if we are able to train ourselves to deal with them in the right way. But a lot of times, however, you know, a lot of people take a negative attitude when they face with these trials. And some people, you know, they want to blame God. They're mad at God. They ask God, why, you know, this is not fair. Why am I having to go through this? And they get aggravated at God. But some of the Christians that James was writing to here in this very passage were in that same thing. They were confused. Maybe they were aggravated at God, saying, "Why, you know, this is not fair. Why are we having to go through all this?" But they had developed that attitude. In the same chapter there, chapter 1, look down at verse 12. He says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Our attitude when we're faced with something like this is what it's addressing here. How we respond to this. We need to understand that these, a lot of times, these tests are for our own good. And if we endure it, this is how we receive the crown of life that the Lord has offered us. It mentions that here. And negative attitude that some were taking here on this occasion to blame God as if He wanted them to fail, if He was trying to get them to fail. What that is that's the devil. That's the devil trying to drive a wedge between us and God, or trying to drive a wedge between them and God. And when we fall to temptation, when we sin, we separate ourselves from God. We know that. Sin is a separation from us and God. And here in this passage, it refers to that as death. That's a separation from God, when we're separated from Him. So claiming to be a Christian, which we all do, we all are Christians, and then responding to these tests in this manner They don't go together. That's something that we can't do both. We can't do both of. Look at another passage over in 2 Corinthians. When you think of trials and people that were tested here on this earth, you can't help but think of Paul. And I'd like to look at an occasion here, an example of how he dealt with some of the trials that he faced. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. In verse 7 it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient to you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul here had the positive attitude toward the things that he faced, the trials that he faced here on this earth. And he understood that it was the Lord's will that he have this thorn in the flesh, that was just something that God had presented him with, and he expected him to deal with it in a way that he should. And he was okay with that. He accepted it. And you can see from his attitude here that he accepted the things that came his way. He says, you know, that he would boast in his infirmities. Do we do that, or do we tend to always complain about just the negative things and look at the negative instead of the positive, have a negative attitude about our lives in general? A lot of time we tend to do a lot of complaining. I know we all can fall into that temptation at times, just thinking about the bad things that are going on, the negative things, and forget about the positive things that we have. But, you know, these trials that we're referring to, that we face here in our lives, they come in all different forms, and it's different for every one of us. Every one of us has different things that we're tested with and are harder for us to overcome. They can be private issues. They can be things that test us personally, just yourself. Or they could be a public issue or a public situation that we find ourselves in that we have to respond in the way that God would have us to respond. It could be our physical health. That's what seems that Paul was dealing with right here, especially one of the trials that he faced. A lot of us have experienced that. A lot of us have experienced tests and trials that deal specifically with our health. Could be family issues. It could be issues with our jobs, with the economy. That's a lot of thing that a lot of times something that puts people under a lot of stress, tests people's faith. It could be dealing with people who don't necessarily treat us as in the way that they should, dealing with them in the way that a Christian should treat people. It could be, you know, not putting things above Christ, that, you know, such as our hobbies, maybe sports, things like that, keeping those in check, being tested in that manner. But any way that the devil can think to test us, he's going to do that. If he sees an area that he thinks he might be able to get to us, that's the way that he's going to try. That's the way he's going to try to slip in and test us in that way. You can't think about as well a test and trials that people face without thinking of the story of Job. And I know in our Bible classes, our youth classes, they have just finished covering the story of Job. And in the adult class, we covered it last quarter. But it just reminds us of the many forms of trials that we face. You know, Job, I'm not going to go through the story and go over it, but Job lost his property, he lost his children, he lost his health as well. That's three of the things that we had mentioned there. And his wife also, remember, his wife turned against him and he didn't have her support anymore, and she was trying to get him to turn from God. But what attitude did he have? Look in the first chapter of Job. Just read one verse there in the first chapter. Verse 22 there, it says, "In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." Job was able, through all these trials that he faced. He didn't sin or charge God with wrong, it says. He didn't blame God. He didn't get angry. He was able to keep his perspective on the situation that he was in. And he didn't. This was Satan, obviously, as I mentioned a minute ago, trying to drive a wedge between him and God. But he didn't allow that. He was able to keep his focus and to respond in the way that he should. And a lot of times, you know, we look at our lives and we're tempted to compare the things that we're going through, the trials that we face with the trials that other people face. And we look and maybe it's people that are not trying to follow God. And we'll look at them and they don't seem to be going through near as many hardships as we're going through. And a lot of times that doesn't seem fair. And a lot of times we can develop a negative attitude about that. You know, that's just not fair. I'm here I am trying to serve God and I'm going through all this extra stuff because of it. And these people, they don't even care. They don't even put forth an effort and everything just seems to be going their way. But how about we compare our lives with some of the things that Job went through, or some of the things that Paul went through, or some of the things that those Christians we read about in James went through. It might help us to sort of rethink our complaining and our negative attitude that we have about our lives and about the things that we're tested by. You know, we used the example, we started off with the automotive industry and how they use these testing fields and these testing tracks to discover weaknesses in the new models of cars. That's the reason that they have them. The trials that we face can do the same thing. They can help us discover weaknesses that we have as Christians. If we see an area that we keep falling to, well, that's an area that we know, hey, we've got to put forth an extra effort to do. Look over in 1 Peter. This is one example that I thought of in this regard. 1 Peter, the first chapter. First Peter, the first chapter, in verse 6. Make sure I'm in the right spot. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love." And I'll stop right there, but Peter, let's think back to Peter and some of the stories we have about Peter. Peter at one point in his life was very, very confident, right? He was very headstrong in the direction he was going and following Christ, and he was very confident in his faith. And he probably was overconfident to a certain degree. But he faced a test and he failed it. Remember when he denied Christ? That was one specific instance that he messed up. He failed. And this humble Peter had to step back a step and reevaluate himself and look at his life. And this humble Peter. And years later, he writes this letter. And he writes this letter as an older, more experienced person. And he's telling these other Christians, you know, trying to help them from some of the experiences that he's had. And he tells them that even though they're faced with these trials, that it's important to maintain that genuine faith that he mentions here. And just as Peter did, we should understand that the importance of using the things that we face in life in a positive way can make us stronger Christians. We can come out of these tests and these trials much stronger than we went in. Here, it specifically uses, and the Bible oftentimes does use the example of gold. And how it's purified through the heating process, through the melting process. And the heat doesn't destroy the gold, that, you know, the heat representing the test that we might face, but rather it purifies it by it burns up the impurities, and you're just left with the gold. By the same token, we shouldn't let the trials that we face weaken us, but we should rather use them to make us stronger, make us more pure Christians. Another area where this applies, and I just want to mention for just a second, is the eldership of the church. You know, that's something that we've been talking about a lot here lately. We've had some lessons on it. You know, the ones who God chose to oversee the work of His church. We have qualifications. We've been looking at them a lot here lately in Titus and in 1 Timothy. And so many of those refer to a person who has faced trials in life, who has faced tests in life, and who has responded to them in a good way, in the way that a Christian should, who has overcame them, learned how to overcome them. Some examples, you know, they're not to be novices, not to be new converts, not to be someone without experience, but rather someone who has experiences in these tests and trials, and has dealt with them in a good way. And God saw that it was critical for a person who was going to be in that position, to hold such an important position in the church, that they'd be one who had been tested and who was experienced, and who had proved that they had overcome these tests in the way that God would have them do. Look over in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. It says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you." This is Jesus speaking. It says, "And say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You know, Jesus mentions here that we need to focus on the reward that God's promised if we endure these tests and if we endure these hardships that we face. And that's one thing that helps us make the right choice, help us make the right decision, helps us respond in the way that we should respond. And we've all, like I said, we've all faced hard times, and we've seen other people deal with trials in their lives. And sometimes we see someone dealing with something, and it's really an encouragement to us, because we see them and they're going through this hardship, and we know that it's a hard time for them. And they handle it in the right way, and they remain faithful to the Lord, even through the hard times. And that really strengthens us. But other times, you know, we can be the opposite. We can be discouraged. We see somebody who is our brother or sister in Christ, and, you know, we really care for them, and we see them going through something, and they don't handle it in the right way. And that sort of sets us back. That sort of discourages us. We want to see them handle those temptations in the way that they should. But we have a whole Bible. This is just a few examples that we've picked out today. We could look at many more of people who have dealt with hardships. You know, Adam and Eve were tested from the very beginning all the way through. We have Christ. You know, he was tested to the ultimate extreme. And he being our perfect example, one that we should pattern ourselves after to the best that we can, he overcame those tests that he was faced with. In the past, we've studied in our Bible classes the church in the first century, the latter part of the first century, and the persecution that those Christians that they went through, the hard times that they were faced with when the church was very young. And through all these hardships, we also know that the church flourished. As bad as it was, as bad as some of these stories that we have recorded for us are, the church did very well at this time. It flourished. And I want us to ask ourselves this question, you know, does it seem fair for us to get to partake of the same reward that's promised, the reward of heaven, as those Christians that dealt with all those hard times back in the first century? If we can't deal with and we can't deal with, overcome the things that we face here in our nation, in our free nation, where we're not really tested nearly to the extreme that they were. You know, we live in a nation that protects our right to serve God. Does it feel fair to us to be able to partake of that same reward if we're not serious in overcoming the test that we serve here? Just think about that. And the answer is no. We won't obtain that reward if we don't deal with these trials in the way that we should. Learning to deal with the test and with these trials in life is one of the most important skills that we develop as Christians. As we mature as Christians, one of these character traits that is super important that we work on and we strive to do better in is dealing with these tests and remaining faithful to God. One more verse I want to end on. This is a verse that I think of a lot of times. And a lot of times it's hard for us when we're tested, but this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, is one of the most comforting verses that I know of in this regard. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." This verse, this one verse here, tells us that God promises that He won't put any more on us than we can handle. God has told us that He won't put us in a situation that we can't do the right thing in, that we can't act in the right way. No trial, no test, no temptation is going to be too strong for us if we're really serious about handling it in the right way. And that's a very comforting verse, and it's one that I've got to start beside it and that I think of it from time to time. But in conclusion, God expects us to deal with these tests in the right way. And that's one reason that we should have this positive attitude, just purely because God expects us to do it. He's told us that He wants us to handle these in a certain way, and we should. But also, they make us stronger. They strengthen us. They strengthen our faith. And ultimately, they're going to help us be what helps us make it to heaven. If we're going to obtain that goal, to reach it to heaven, one thing that we need to do is to surround ourselves, as we've done today, with other Christians, with other people who have that same mindset, who are facing those same trials and are trying to come to the same end that we are. And those that are essentially going to encourage us to do the right thing, to do right. As I close, you know, the purpose of my lesson here today, first of all, I wanted to encourage everybody. I hope everybody, by looking at these examples, has been encouraged to stay strong, to remain faithful to God, even when we may face these trials. But also, I want us to realize that if we have areas in our life that we're not dealing with the tests that we face in the way that we should as Christians, that we need to make a change. We need to examine ourselves and see, are we really dealing with the test that we face in the way that God would have us to? And if the Lord's shown us that an area that we're weak in, you know, an area that we find ourselves failing to, and if He's given us a chance to correct that, as we have here today, He expects us to make that change. He expects us to, we've been presented with that, and He expects us to make that change in our life. And we need to remember that how we respond to these tests and trials are how the Lord sees who is truly faithful to Him and who is truly serious about serving Him. And as we stated earlier, the definitions themselves of the word test and trial, they show our real character and how strong our faith really is. But if anyone, even here this morning, if anyone here has a spiritual need that you have, you need to look to fill that need. And if it involves coming before the congregation, you have an opportunity to do that as well at this time, if you'll come while we stand and sing.
It's a fountain preaches for you.